As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go. Sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." If I were to take a mental and spiritual snapshot of my last week, it would, all in all, have been a very good week. Began with worship here at St. John's. We sang a hymn that I wrote. I sang a song at the offertory that I had learned just the week before with the words, "God is holding your life, we believe." We had a healing service, praying intently for God's healing upon our bodies, minds, hearts, and souls. And then Joe and I went to the 75th anniversary dinner for Faith Lutheran Church. The week started out well. Monday was a full, enjoyable day. Monday night and Tuesday were set aside to prepare for the program I was giving at Abiding Hope Lutheran Church titled My Story, My Songs. The program went very well, all in all. The week had several other things scheduled. Joe and I enjoyed our weekly date lunch. I had a long lunch with my sister Fran. Thursday and Friday were set aside to prepare for a family dinner that we had at our house with children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And to say that went well is an understatement. Within 10 minutes of their arrival, the great-grandchildren found the snowballs, and we had our usual snowball fight. As I look at my week in that way, it was wonderful, even magical. And all of this makes me feel as if I'm living well in the kingdom of God. And this is where my notes tell me to give myself a pat on the back. But, and here it comes. That snapshot of this past week includes one moment, one segment of time that sours the week. I messed up. I feel like the rich man in today's gospel story. I'm supposed to follow Jesus, but sometimes it seems too demanding. Sometimes it seems impossible. The storyteller Mark says that the rich young man was shocked at what Jesus expected, and he went away grieving. That's how I felt. That's how I feel now when I look at the snapshot of this past week. As great as it was, in spite of all the good things I told you about, the bottom line is that my heart and my soul know that because of that segment in time, the week was soured. I cannot claim to be a good, faithful follower of Jesus. I can also compare myself to Peter in that story. I can say that I've made sacrifices and I do follow Jesus for the most part. But then again, this same Peter betrayed Jesus. He denied that he even knew Jesus at the most crucial moment of Jesus' life. In the snapshot of my past week, I was like Peter. I follow Jesus even as a leader, but I fail. So that brings us to the question the disciples asked in today's story. Who then can be saved? I mean, people tend to look up to their pastors as model disciples. I didn't even realize it's pastor appreciation stuff going on. But pastors sometimes get put on a pedestal. But I remember hearing in seminary that the higher the pedestal, the harder, the longer the fall. And we all know stories of pastors who have publicly failed to be disciples in some very sinful, even disturbing ways. I could compare my moment last week to those pastors and say, oh, I'm not so bad after all. But that's not the way to look at our sins and our shortcomings. I really believe that that moment this past week, as great as the week was, that that moment proves that I don't have what it takes to enter into God's kingdom. This is how my personal prayer went. Jesus came to me. He pointed his finger at me and said, "You failed again." I imagined a full-size camel standing next to Jesus, and Jesus was holding a needle. It was a very large knitting needle. But Jesus said, "It's easier for you to get this camel through the eye of this needle than it will be for you to enter God's kingdom." Thanks be to God, because we know Jesus. The prayer ends with forgiveness. And just as Jesus looked at that rich young man in our story today, we're told, and loved him, in my prayer, Jesus looked at me and loved me. We very often look at today's reading to be about money and stewardship and finances and wealth. And the reading is about that, but I think those are also examples. There's way more to this story than how we manage our wealth. It's there, but there's more. Mark, the storyteller, gives us some very specific clues as to what this story is about. These clues are really clear in the original Greek. This story today that we heard, we first don't hear it that way, but Mark gives us clues that this story is a healing story. The man runs to Jesus, we're told. The only other place that Mark told us that a man ran to Jesus was the man who was filled with demons, and he ran to Jesus in search of healing. Mark told us that the rich man knelt before Jesus. Mark had given us, just before this, three stories about people who knelt before Jesus. They were all healing stories. A leper, the synagogue leader who knelt before Jesus wanting his dying daughter to be healed, and that woman who touched the hem of his garment knelt before Jesus looking for healing. In Mark's storytelling, people who want healing kneel. This rich young man needed healing. He knelt before Jesus. He was full of external riches. He was wealthy, but he was empty inside. Something was missing. He knew that he needed healing, and so he knelt before Jesus. Now, I suspect that this man was suffering from an addiction, which most sins really are. This man had an addiction to wealth. He's an example for us that when we are immersed in sin, whatever it is, we come to Jesus for healing, especially for sins that we keep repeating over and over. We kneel before Jesus and we come for healing. Mark is telling us, though, that this kind of healing isn't always easy. It can take time. It can be very demanding. And Jesus doesn't always jump in and heal us as fast as we want or need. Not without us doing our part. Let's go back to the original question that the young man asked. What must I do to inherit eternal life? My focus here is on the word do. Jesus was telling this rich young man to stop trying to earn your way to eternal life. Your wealth will not get you to eternal life. You can never deserve God's eternity. Why were the disciples astounded? Because in those days, if you were wealthy, that was a sign of God's blessing. But that wealth won't get you into heaven. Nothing you can do, nothing you have, will accomplish that for you. Stop trying to prove yourself worthy. Stop trying to pass some divine test to get into heaven. No matter how many cartoons there are that show that getting into heaven, there's a test. There is not a test to get into heaven. The way to eternal life, the way to get into heaven, is simply this. Jesus says, follow me. Come, follow me. Follow me to the cross. Now, let's go back to the original question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now my focus, and really the focus of this message today, is on the word inherit. When you inherit something, it means you belong to a family. The family that Jesus is talking about, and the family that Mark is traveling around the countryside inviting people into, is the household of God. Being connected to God's household is a channel of healing. Being connected to God and to the household of God is our healing. But it's more than that. One of my favorite stories of all time is about a Sunday school class. The teacher asks a simple question. What do you have to do to get to heaven? Well, one child, you know the one, with hands raised, always ready to give an answer. The teacher says, okay, what do you have to do to get into heaven? Calls on that student, and the child says, you have to die. Well, actually, it's not a bad answer. In an earthly family, to get an inheritance, someone dies. That's when you get your inheritance, after someone dies. And the same is true in the household of God. That child had it right down. Someone is going to die. And someone died for us to get our inheritance to eternal life. And that's our faith, that Jesus died so that we can receive our eternal inheritance. Now I return to that original snapshot of the past week. I kneel before Jesus for healing and forgiveness. But no, I'm not worthy of eternal life. That moment in the past week proves it. Because of times like that, I can never earn eternal life. Standing here today as worship leader and pastor, preacher, these also do not make me worthy of an eternal inheritance. For me and for you, to earn or deserve eternal life is impossible. And that's what Jesus was teaching. It's impossible for us. But with God, all things are possible. With God, eternal life is possible. With God, your salvation is possible. Inheriting eternal life is only possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through his cross is the forgiveness of sins. Through his cross is the healing that we need. Through his resurrection is our resurrection. Let us pray. Think of Jesus looking at the rich young man and loved him. Think of Jesus looking around all the disciples. Mark tells us he looked at the disciples and see the look of Jesus loving them. Jesus looks around at our world today, a world of sin, war, evil, division, filled with sinners, addicts, unbelievers, sinning believers, church-going people, church-going pastors, and see the look of Jesus from the cross
From the cross, he looks at all of us, and his look is love. And see the look of Jesus upon you and upon all people in the glory of his resurrection. The look of Jesus is love. See the loving look of Jesus upon you now and upon everyone. Let this look, this loving look of Jesus, be our prayer today.